This is the Chain Crew Podcast, powered by the California Youth Football Alliance.
Welcome to another Chain Crew Podcast, brought to you by the California Youth Football Alliance, now powered by Light Helmets, the lightest five-star rated youth football helmet available on the market, and you can get your 10% discount if you visit our website, cayfa.org. That's Light Helmets. What's up, guys? It's Steve Famiano, along with Joe Rafter and Ron White. We are back for another Chain Crew Podcast. Fellas, how you guys doing today?
Awesome, Steve. Great to be back. Ron, nice to see you back in your office after our trip this week.
Yeah, it's really nice being back. It's nice to get the band back together, so to speak. Looking forward to it.
We've got a great show today. We're going to be joined here in a few minutes by Merrill Hodge, who is one of our CAYFA board members. Real quick, though, Joe, if you could give us maybe just a quick summary of your guys' visit that you just had this week up in Sacramento as far as pushing the California Youth Football Act in AB1.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Steve. So Thursday, Ron and I went up to Sacramento. We spent the day there. We met with 7 of the 9 committee members. And so just a little bit on the process, right? So the bill is going into the Senate Health Committee. It will be heard by that Senate Health Committee here probably in the next 2, maybe 3 weeks. 9 committee members will, you know, discuss, review, and then they'll vote. Honestly, man, I want to stay undefeated. You know, we're 6-0 in the assembly committee and we're 68-0 in the assembly floor. We're doing everything that we can to, you know, try and make that the reality. We met with 7 of the 9 committee members, great conversations. I felt great about all of them, but, you know, in terms of enthusiasm, support for the work that we're doing. The one thing that really jumped out at me, was multiple times, you know, different offices said, "You guys are living the American way. This is how it's supposed to work." You know, there was a ban that started a year ago and you guys decided to step up and do something about that. You defeated that. And then you really got proactive and went out and formed this organization, you know, the California Football Alliance, the 501c3. That's the American way in the political process. So several offices told us that. And that gave me a sense of confidence and appreciation, frankly, validation that what we're doing is, you know, the right thing. And, you know, Sacramento is appreciating it.
That's great that the lawmakers up there are basically telling us that, right? That's definitely a positive. And that is the American way. And that leads me into another way, which is find a way. And that is the slogan of the guy who's joining us right now, Mr. Merrill Hodge. Merrill, how are you today?
Gentlemen, I could not be better. I'm a little behind you guys as far as East Coast goes, but listening to what you got going on, Joe, and meeting with you in Boston, I'm going to tell you this, I can't be more honored to be a part of a group that's, you said it already, Joe, but you're being proactive and you're creating a better, safer environment for our kids, making it a better environment than we had it. You're about finding solutions. That's the kind of people I love to be around. I will never be around people that are losers and are full of excuses. I'm just going to cut to the chase. It's people like Boston University that are, when I talk to, that's what I love about football. You have two options, you know, when things go wrong. Okay. You can be like a Boston University. You can be a loser and they do a bunch of things. They cast blame, they point the finger, and they find excuses. Or you can be like California Alliance and you guys and winners, and you self-evaluate, you make changes, you create a plan, you take action, and you find a way to make things better. And, you know, that's where you are. Listen, that's a great theory in life. That's what I love about sports. And to see the impact you guys are making, be a part of that, couldn't be happier. Hopefully people that listen to this will hopefully be empowered with all of the real facts and truth and feel better about if their kids want to be involved in football, especially, or contact sports, that they're going to be empowered, that their kids are playing in the best, the safest environment in the history of sports, which is what's taking place right now.
You know, you brought up Boston University and of course you were the author of Brainwashed, which is an incredible book. For anybody that has not read the book or purchased it, you definitely got to do that. You know, you've taken a lot of heat for that book, which I'm pretty sure you're okay with, or you wouldn't have done the book. As far as Boston University, you basically just refer to them as losers. So what is it about Boston University and this whole narrative of CTE and football that is incorrect?
Well, let's say, you know, losers is actually too soft a word. You know, they're corrupt, and what they've done is criminal in a lot of ways. Let's start with the narrative they have created. They base that on what they call scientific information evidence. Their science that they're talking about is absolute garbage. It is garbage. It's incomplete. You could argue that some of it barely tipped its head above the integrity aspect, where they keep just a borderline integrity in what they've done. And then there's a lot of it where they have no integrity. I think Ann McKee is one of the most abusive, grotesque doctors I've ever seen in my life. I think she obviously clearly signed the Hippocratic Oath. When you sign that, and people, because I make it clear what a Hippocratic Oath is, because a lot of people, believe it or not, don't know what that is. The Hippocratic Oath is what doctors sign to do no harm, meaning do the very best you can to serve the public and serve the people that come to listen to you, care, or whatever it may be. But part of that is having your facts, and in this case, your scientific evidence, complete and solid before you present anything to the public. And I can't even tell you how many times I have people actually have talked to me about her, and they said, "Well, listen, I heard Ann McKee say that most all football players have CT," and I'm like, you know what? That's where she's criminal. And that's where she has abused the Hippocratic Oath, because there's no scientific evidence that would lead her or anybody else to say that. And writing this book, I was asked the other day, you know, has Boston University said anything? No, they haven't. They can't. They don't. The last thing you want to say, the last thing you want when you're lying, the last thing you want to say when you're trying to sell something you can't prove, you don't want somebody calling you out on it. You don't want somebody to say, "Well, you know what? Hey, Ann McKee, I'll meet you anywhere, any day, any time, in a public setting, a public forum, a live event. I'll bring Dr. Cummings with me, who, based on his certifications, are superior to yours. We'll sit down and we'll go through the scientific evidence, and we'll take your literature, and we'll go through it, and we'll talk about it, and we'll ask you, you know, why, Ann, would you write a paper?" You know, I always refer to the 99% paper, where she was quoted in the in a public journal, in a public media, as saying she's got to believe all players have CT, football players have CT, after this scientific paper that she did, which was the 99% paper. But in the paper, what it says, and I always highlight this to people, she wrote this. This is what it says in the paper. These are the guidelines based on the methodology of the science paper, which is awful at best. It's brains from a diseased brain bank. There's a whole litany of things that are wrong with this science. It's just putrid in a bunch of ways. But it says no generalization regarding the incident and prevalence of CTE in living athletes and veterans can be made. That's what the paper, scientific paper, said. I mean, it can't state it any more clear. You just can't use this. You know, it's so insufficient. It's so premature. You don't say this to anybody. Yes, she's quoted in a paper the next day about it. And her quote is, "I'm really wondering where this stops," said Dr. Ann McKee, a neuropathologist at Boston University, after this study she just wrote. And keep in mind what I just read, she wrote. "I'm wondering if on some level, every single football player doesn't have this." That can't be more criminal and corrupt. And that's just one thing. So what they have done is they've created a narrative without the science to back it. And that is where all the harm has come. But they're generating tons of money, millions, if you will. And the name's escaping me, but I got a former NFL player. He's been retired a few years, doing a documentary. He actually came to do a piece with me, and you guys might even find this interesting, but he went actually to one of their so-called meetings that they have there. And he just was going there because he's like, "Hey, they're saying I'm going to have it, or I got it." Okay. So that's why I get the title brainwashed, because even this player's thinking that. He goes there. He goes, "The first thing that disturbed me is, like, you can't ask questions. He goes, it felt like a cult. He's like, you know, people are just shaking their heads, you know, listening to these guys. He was talking about Bob Stern and Chris Dawinski. I said, now listen, but the way he was talking about them, I go, you understand they're not doctors, right? He's like, they're not? I go, exactly. They're not doctors. Neither one of those guys are doctors. They're CT salesmen, but they wrote a few papers, but they do not have a doctor background. And he's like, oh my gosh. Okay. Like he was even shocked. How'd you find that out? I'm like, so that was irrelevant. But what he read to me was interesting. He found some literature where Boston University, okay, the CTE center, is working on medication to help people who have CTE. I was like, excuse me? He's like, I'd never heard that before. He's like, he's talking about this paper that they wrote and how they'll have a medication to help. I'm like, wait a minute. Nobody on this planet Earth, including Boston University, regardless of what people see in the paper or see on TV, knows what causes CTE. Nobody knows it. Boston University doesn't have any scientific evidence to account for it. Nobody knows. They clearly don't know what symptoms comes from it, but yet they're already working on a medication for it. I just like, wow. You know what? You completed the corruptness based on all the things that I have seen and heard out of this university. And what's unfortunate is there's so many families and people that are pulling their kids out of sports, scared to death when their kids have a concussion, that they're going to have some issues later in life. And it's really been a journey to, that's why I try to tell people, here's what we're dealing with. When you look at, it's easier to fool people than to convince them they've been fooled. And that's what's happened. So many people have been fooled that when you present the facts to them, and even if you say, hey, listen, use common sense. Okay. If you take all contact sports, and even if you learn, you use the subconcussion definition that they use or whatever they're using today. And I'll get to the subconcussion in a second, what garbage that is. If you have a sudden shift of any kind. Okay. So if you've been on a roller coaster ride, jumped on a trampoline, I got a 5 and 6 year old grandkids who run through the house as fast as they can and throw themselves in the couch 100 miles an hour. There can't be anything more abruptly stopping them without equipment, without a helmet. And they're 5 and 6, right? And I'm just sitting there going, now, wait a minute. And I go back to my childhood, and everybody should go back to their childhood. Listen, I probably still have the United States record for the most touchdowns jumping over a couch in the history of football. Yeah.
That is a strong one, man.
Right. And I guarantee you, everybody right now is trying to challenge that. Go, no, I had more than you, and I had more. And now, you know what? We'd all maybe have a legitimate argument. But my point is, everybody was doing some kind of activity. Kids do that. That's how you live. So you only have billions of people to pull from, and you can't find one person that you can say, aha, see what happens when you play contact sports. Now, people will point fingers out and say, the case where this kid had a seizure, you know, and they find CT. I mean, listen, first of all, to lose a child is a son or a daughter. I mean, I lost my mom at a young age, so I understand the sting of death. I'm the chairman of the board of the Caring Foundation, which is my foundation in Pittsburgh, that we have a center for grieving children and their families. So I understand the agony that comes with losing somebody. And there's usually one thing that's always in common. Everybody wants the same thing, to be honest with you. They just want them to come back. And I remember my mom died. I mean, it was, you talk about mysterious. You know, I didn't find out till about 10 years later that really she was bulimic. And that's what caused her potassium levels to be so low. This is like, you know, 1986. So you got to understand what we understood about bulimia at that time and what was said about it. But bulimia, because nutrition wise, you're neglecting so much nutrition from your internal organs, something malfunctions. And unfortunately it was her heart, even though her heart got started. But going back to this kid who had the seizure, you know, and Dr. Cummings says, look at the pathology report and the autopsy report. He had drugs in his system just because they say he had CT. Anything that Ann McKee puts her hands on, anytime I hear Ann McKee, a red flag should fly right away.
Yeah, Meryl.
That flies right away if I ever hear her name.
Yeah, Meryl, completely, you know, locked and loaded. I mean, this is one of the reasons why, you know, having you on our board is so, you know, helpful. And, you know, there's just alignment in perspective of what's going on out there. And there's two new articles came out this past week. One is on PubMed, and it's the title is mild chronic traumatic encephalopathy in people with no known participation in contact sports or history of repetitive neurotrauma. So now, and this comes from, and for the folks in Massachusetts, is important to pay attention to this, because the Mass General Hospital for Children's Sports Concussion Program is one of the authors in this. Red Sox Foundation and Massachusetts General Hospital Program is also an author on this. But it basically says, you can look it up, it basically says that they're now finding CTE-like stuff, symptoms, markers in people who never played contact sports. So, and that completely contradicts some of the perspective that's coming out of Boston. The Concussion Legacy Foundation in particular. And then the other one is, there's an article that came out. Dr. Cummings sent it to me. I'm just pulling up here on my phone as we're talking. Sports Health, Sage Journals, Sports Health, a multidisciplinary approach. Age of first exposure to American football and behavioral, cognitive, psychological, and physical outcomes in high school and college football players. Basically said 1,802 people participated in this study. No cognitive impacts from participating in football when they started playing football. So I think the point for us, I mean, you know, the way I see this, Merrill, is there's, you know, I'm an informed parent, right? And so I don't take all my data from one place.
Should you?
Right. And so, yeah, and if I go and buy a car and I'm buying a Lexus, or I'm buying a Nissan from a Nissan dealer, or I'm buying a Ford from a Nissan dealer, man, that Nissan dealer is going to sell me a Nissan. He's going to want to sell me a car that's from his company, that's from his, that puts money in his pocket or her pocket. And BU, the Concussion Legacy Foundation, is the same way. They get paid to say that CTE is bad. They right. get paid
they
to
a problem.
Do research on CTE. If they say CTE is not bad, if they say CTE is not a problem, if they say it, you know, it isn't anything other than the perspective that they have, they lose money. So they have to say it. And so when it comes to a medical topic like this, we as a parent, as a football coach, as a football administrator, as a co-founder and president of the Alliance, and in the work that we're doing here, we have to broaden our perspectives and look at other places for a nice wide variety of doctors who are going to give us our thoughts, give us their thoughts and insights. You can't just yep. take it from, you know, to your point, Ann McKee's got a bias. And I told Nowinski the same thing a year ago. You know, you have a bias with everything that you produce. So I'm going to look outside of what you say so I can be as well-informed a parent as possible. The last thing I'll add on this, which is the piece that really bugs me the most. So, you know, my whole life I've been, you know, I'm a larger guy, right? I'm not massive, but I've always been the biggest in my class, biggest on the football team, that kind of stuff. I was always bullied. Always. I walked in freshman year of high school, I was bullied by the juniors and seniors because I was the biggest kid. When I showed up, I was the second biggest kid in my high school. And so the big guys want to show me and put me in their place. Well, these Boston Legacy, this Concussion Legacy Foundation and BU, they're the same way. From my view, they're bullies. And what they're selling is fear. And they're trying to scare people into making choices. And that's the piece for me as a fellow human being. That's the piece that's so offensive. Why do you got to go around bullying people and trying to scare them so you can put money in your pocket to continue to fund research that is flawed and invalid for all the reasons that you said?
Well, you're dead on. I mean, honestly, it's probably what drove me to write the book. I didn't set out to write the book. I just wanted to kind of find out. I wanted to find out what the truth was. I kind of went on a journey. And when I started hearing one neuropathologist, and keep in mind, I've sat down with nearly a dozen in the United States and Canada. Okay. I don't start out to write a book. I just start out to get an answer, you know, just so I could understand it. I think Steve introduced me with, you know, my mantra in life has been to find a way, and find a way has inspired action in my life, you know, to do something about things in life, you know, not sit around and make excuses and point the finger and cast blame. I talk about that's a loser, and that's a losing proposition in life. You go nowhere with that. You get no results. And I would sit with the neuropathologist and I'd say, now, listen, here's what I'm hearing. You know, tell me what CTE is. You know, is it a thing? Is it real? And they're like, well, it's a pattern in an observation state. I go, what do you mean? They go, because we don't know what causes it. And we don't know what it causes. And actually, these letters that you talk about, or this information and these papers coming out now, Joe, shoot, this is just starting to come out now. You know, way over a year ago, what was brought to my attention is 104 of the 300 cases, only 300 in the medical journal, by the way. Okay. So it isn't like you would think with nearly literally billions of people involved in this, to create an epidemic, you would need at least 30 to 40 million to create an epidemic. When you're talking billions, and we are talking about billions, because when a lady was asking me that, she goes, do you have CT? And I go, I could, and so could you.
Right.
I mean,
right,
because right. That's, so I mean, that's the truth. That is truth. Everybody on this planet can have it. And keep in mind, people, that doesn't mean you're going to have any issues, because I'll go back to a little Lily Hazarati when I met with her and talking to her. And she was kind of one of my last neuropathologists, and she was up in Canada. Everybody else has been saying the same thing. You know, Merrill, we don't know what it is. You know, we don't know what causes it. We don't know what it causes. We have cases where, you know, they never even played sports, never had a history of head trauma, never had a concussion. Okay. So I really kind of bring all this information to her. Okay. Now, on that subject about all these cases that didn't play sports, she actually challenges Ann McKee at one of these meetings they have in Boston University. Okay. She challenges Ann McKee. Okay. And keep in mind, Lil Hazarati is more credentialed than Ann McKee will ever be. She's done adolescence, pediatrics, brilliant. All right. She goes, because Ann McKee was again lying, going, you know, this is only cases that play football and it's contact sports. And she's like, wait a minute. She points out a few cases that she obviously knows about that didn't play sports, wasn't part of, didn't have a history of head trauma, never even had a concussion. She goes, Ann, that's not right. And she goes, blah, 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 blah. What does Ann fire back at? Oh, domestic violence. Someone, now, wait a minute. Keep in mind, no females have been looked at here, folks. So, okay, these are not females that are being abused by their husbands or boyfriends or significant other. These are men now supposedly being abused by the women. And this is causing CTE. This is exactly what she said on the thing. I was like, please tell me she did not say that. How do you say that with a straight face? And, but here's yet, how do people buy it? That's what's mind boggling. And she said, you should have listened. Ann literally said, you should have seen the people there. There, you know, there are a lot of athletic trainers and MDs, you know, family practitioners, just kind of shaking their head, agreeing on everything. And that's what's just disturbing them. Nobody gets educated or informed. Okay. You get medical people. I've talked to medical people. I've talked to people in, like a family practitioner. I've talked to family practitioner people. I've talked to athletic trainers. I've talked to anybody in the media. When they have formed, when I listen to their opinion, I ask them, have you ever read any of the scientific literature? All of them say no. I'm like, how in the world can you possibly gather, especially in your field, if you're an athletic trainer, if you're a family practitioner, and you're going off the evening news, and if you're going off the paper, the local paper, and you have access. Listen, everybody can go to the medical journal and read it. And keep in mind, the medical journal is not Sports Illustrated. Okay. I actually had somebody challenge me on a radio show. I told him, listen, if you want to send me any scientific literature from a medical journal, send it to me. And I go, if it says there's a cause or a link, I'll shut up and pull my book off the shelves. The guy sends me an article from Sports Illustrated. I swear to you.
Oh, man.
No, I'm not. I'm not lying to you. I could write a book on this journey of the incompetence that exists on this subject in every phase, from media to medicine to science. When people start talking, where'd you get that from? Well, I heard it. I'm like, listen, you're a family practitioner and you haven't even read the scientific literature. Wow. You haven't educated yourself and you're talking to families and telling people that they shouldn't let their kids play. But with what? What evidence are you using? So that's why, you know, going back to what you said, Joe, I mean, you got to, I wrote this book to empower people with the right information and all of the information. And I even challenge them, be skeptical even of me and the information. Go read it for yourself. That's why we created the Brainwash book, brainwashbook.com website. There's scientific papers there. We help you find it. Go look at the research. I want you to read it. I'm not interested in changing people's mind, but I am interested in opening up your mind. And if we open up your mind and you look at these things, here's what I'm going to tell you, what you're going to come away with. You're going to come away with being very empowered one way or the other. When you learn all of the information, and if your kids do have a concussion, because people are always, you know, they try to attack me going, well, your career ended because of that. I go, and because of what? It didn't end because of CTE. CTE had nothing to do with a concussion, nothing. And actually, my career ended because of improper care. That's why I went to Congress in 2009. And guess who was just two people down from me sitting on the dais there talking to Congress? Oh, yeah, the wonderful, brilliant, self-pronounced wonderful and brilliant, Ann McKee. Never said anything about doing a protocol for a kid's 18. Why didn't she? Because she doesn't know squat about sports. And she doesn't know what causes this CT pattern that she's looking at, if she even knows what she's looking at. And Joe, you mentioned what that study and research found out. I want to say it's the Madison paper. I can't remember the, I wish I had Dr. Cummings on here. The Madison paper, they did some research on, I think even the band, if I remember right, they did the band of football and they looked at cognitive behaviors later in life. And the band had worse cognitive behaviors later in life than the football players did. And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, well, that didn't lead to evening news. We weren't shutting the band down. You know, nobody can play an instrument now. And I just thought, you know, it's unfortunate that, that here's what they did. They got out there first and they presented a fear without having the scientific evidence to back it. And nobody has the guts to go after them. That's why I applaud Dr. Cummings, because in writing this book, they can't ruin my medical career. Okay, they can try, but I haven't got one. But people that have spoken up before have been threatened, to your point, Joe, and bullied by them. I have seen emails from Ann McKee to people bullying and threatening. You see it my way or we're going to have a problem. Really, Ann? We see it your way, huh?
That's great stuff, Merrill. And Ron's got a question for you, but you asked if you know, you'd love to have Dr. Cummings on here with us. So I did you a favor. I reached out and we've got our boy.
No, see, here's Dr. Cummings. He's brilliant from a scientific perspective. He has no idea about how to answer a phone. Technology, he's safe.
Peter, what happened to you, Peter?
Mr. Hodge.
Oh, wait, I think it's Peter's son. Wait a minute. Is this Peter's son?
Hey, Fionn,
what happens when you guys need to go to the bathroom on the sideline in a football game?
Now we're getting to some really great questions.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. That never happened to me in my career.
That's good.
I never had to go to the bathroom. I got to be honest with you. I do not know. I mean, you can obviously go to the locker room. There's many players who have done it right in the huddle. I've been there witnessing it. He's going, please tell me you're not doing this. Please tell me you're not doing this.
Hey, Merrill, I have a question for you. Thanks. First of all, thanks for coming on the show and providing some level of balance to the CTE discussion. So from where I'm tracking, I believe you bring a unique perspective to this conversation. You've played at the highest level. You've coached and are coaching. You've been an on-air air personality, now an author. So you wear a lot of hats. But imagine the most important hat you wear is that of a father.
Absolutely.
For those parents. Yeah. And this is our audience for the most part. For those parents and mom, dad, or mom and dad who may be struggling with, you know, the slanted narrative coming out of the media, which seems to be every day. What do you say to that mom and dad who want to play the sport, but are really confused because of being besieged with so much misinformation?
Yeah. Well, the first thing, and this happened to me a lot in coaching youth football, but usually their kid doesn't want to be there. And I always talk to the kid, because I can tell when I'm stretching first day of practice, I go, okay, he doesn't want to be here. I can tell by the way he's stretching, because he ain't stretching. He don't want to be here. And I go over there, talk to him, and I'm like, I go, are you excited about playing? He's like, nope. I go, what do you like doing? He goes, he gives me a list of things or a couple things. So I talk to the parent, and I'm like, hey, you know that, you know, he doesn't want to be here, right? And they're like, yeah. But we brought him here because of you. And I'm like, no, it's already hard enough. This is not helping me. But here's what I do know about him. He is passionate about A, B, and C. Just feed his passion. Be grateful he has a passion. So football's their passion. And you can tell. In fact, Dr. Cummings, actually, I hope he gets on here because he could add to this. Because I thought he was in a spot. This was not a dilemma for me as a parent because I was already in a proactive state. And I was like, my son started playing. I go, here's what's great about it. I'm going to change A, B, and C. He's going to have a better environment than I had. But a lot of people aren't in that luxury. Dr. Cummings, on the other hand, though, he said something I think is very profound because he was not going to let Fionn play football. But then he started thinking, wait a minute. If I'm going to rob him, my son, of an opportunity to do something that he loves, let me understand all the facts so that when I make the decision, I've done it factually. And I've done all the information and I know all of the information before I take it away from him or allow him to do it. So just listening to podcasts like this, go read the literature. We didn't do this podcast to sell my book, but the book I'm telling you is a fabulous resource for you to understand the science. That Dr. Cummings is brilliant in how he explained it. So you understand it. We give you all kinds of resources to go look for after that. Do that due diligence for your kids. And here's what you're going to come away with. You will be very empowered. Does that mean you're going to let your kids play football? I don't know. And that's not my choice. But I will say this. You will be empowered. You'll have less fear about them being active. In fact, I think you'll feel stronger about them being really active in whatever sport they are passionate about.
Peter, are you with us? We dropped you there for a second. Are you still hanging with us?
No, that was me dropping you guys. I got laughing so hard, I actually hit the hangout button on the phone.
We're still looking for the answer to that question, though, Peter. That may be the question of the year.
I know, right? We've seen some YouTube video footage of some interesting things happening on the sideline when these situations arise. It's like asking an astronaut how they go to the bathroom in their spacesuit. You know, every kid wants to know that stuff.
Hey, you know what, Doctor? Well, I got Doctor Cummings. I'll have him. He'll be able to, because here's what I love about him. He's like my dictionary. When I need something, I got on speed dial. I get a hold of him right away. I think it was the Madison paper. Peter, tell people about the Madison paper. I alluded to it, but I didn't do it any justice to what you can do to it. I think it was the Madison paper where
the Mayo. It was a couple of papers from Mayo Clinic, and they looked at the incidence of dementia and former high school football players, compared them to other varsity sport athletes and to members of the glee club and band, and found that there was no difference. And in fact, Merrill mentioned a little bit, the highest rates of dementia were among clarinet players, you know, so let's ban the clarinet. Right. The thing, there were some studies looking at Wisconsin football players, and there's two other papers that have just come out. One of them just dropped. From the Wisconsin group, Mike McCree's group, and Ben Brett, who are just absolute beasts in this world, that are showing with some really incredibly well-done studies that there's no association to age of exposure to football and neurocognitive issues in high school kids, NCAA athletes. That may be the Wisconsin. I mean, there's so much stuff out there showing that football doesn't lead to increased risk of dementia, and age of exposure doesn't increase your risk of developing it earlier in life. It's easy to confuse all the papers. I mean, there's a plethora of information out there.
Well, that's why, you know, we've created the The website brainwashbook.com is that we put papers out there too to help people update themselves on information. And these recent papers will have that on the website when we get, when I get them on the website, we'll have them on there soon. We have a bunch of podcasts and literature for them, but it's just more resources for parents to understand that out there. There's so many other people doing good work on this, doing unbiased work. They're doing a complete look at things and giving you, the honest facts versus Boston University constantly finding CP, constantly doom and gloom.
Yeah, great stuff, Merrill. I'm going to wrap up with one last question, but I'm just going to basically make a statement to you, Merrill, and to Dr. Peter Cummings on behalf of California Youth Football. We've gotten a lot of feedback about you guys being involved with the California Youth Football Alliance, your passion and your fire for the sport and the kids. And on behalf of the entire California Youth Football community, I'm going to say thank you from them. They are very appreciative of your efforts and what you're doing to help fight this narrative. And that's what it is. It's a very, like you said, Merrill, it's just, to me, it's a total crock. That's I'm with you on that one. And there's a lot of people here in California and, of course, across the nation, youth football, that are very appreciative of the work that you two are doing and the efforts that you guys are putting into, helping save this sport along with us. And I just wanted to pass that message along to you guys from the California youth football community.
Well, we sure appreciate it, brother. I know this, Dr. Cummings is passionate and as complete a guy as I've ever met. And we anchored our chain to a bunch of men that are the same way. You're passionate about it. You live it. You breathe it. You educate yourself and you're well-rounded in the information that we're getting. And like I did that documentary, I tried to tell people, listen, they challenged me when I did the book. Like, why would you do the book? I go, let me ask you, if you know the facts and the truth and you understood the deliberate corruptness on the back end, I mean, I don't know about you. I can't sleep. Honestly, can't sleep. There are so many days and nights I cannot sleep. Just like the harm that's being done, the things that kids are getting robbed of, the fear that parents have, and there's absolutely no scientific evidence that should have generated the type of fear that has been generated. So we are going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep grinding. I'm going to find a way through the whole process. And this journey, you have to have great people. I want to write that book. Listen, divine intervention crossed my path with Dr. Cummings. Thank the Lord for him. I'll tell you this. I know you guys know this, but, people that listen may not know. I talked to a lot of neuropathologists, and they would all share what they believed and knew, but none of them had the guts to write the book with me. They just didn't, because they knew they were going to get butchered and attacked. And fully, Joe, to your point, careers ended, believe it or not. That's the kind of risk that he took. That's why I give him all the credit, because he had guts of 10 people to do that book with me.
One final question, Merrill, before we leave the Chain Crew podcast today. We already know what Peter dresses as for Halloween, and that would be Wolverine. What is your Halloween costume?
Oh, good Lord. Okay, now listen, Pete, Halloween, that's got Peter written all over it. I mean, the guy
that is my favorite holiday. That is my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, listen, I think, okay, this is going to sound bad, but no kids come to our door anyway based on where we live. But Halloween is just not my cup of tea. I am not a... in some ways, Dr. Cummings and I could not be more opposite where we are lying in youth football. But when it comes to Halloween and stuff like that, there's a few other things that can't be aired that we're not alike. Peter, don't you even go there, son, or I'll take you. You know what? Listen, I don't know what I'd dress up. I'm looking over my Walter Payton helmet. I'd put my Walter Payton helmet on and be Walter Payton. That's what I'd do.
Well, Merrill, you understand coming on this podcast, the quality of questions that are coming your way. We learn more about that question than most.
Oh, man. Absolutely awesome. Merrill Hodge, great stuff. Peter Cummings, thanks for joining us today also. Ron White, Joe Rafter, and I'm Steve Famiano. Another Chain Crew podcast wrapping up. We appreciate everybody's efforts in this and continuing to preserve youth football. And we'll definitely see you guys next time right here on the Chain Crew. See you then.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to another Chain Crew podcast powered by the California Youth Football Alliance. Make sure to follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Plus, stay in touch on their website, cayfa.org.